Hello, everybody, and welcome to the RDM podcast. I'm yours truly, Rabbi Daniel Malinga. In the studio with me is Apostle Enoch Makoko. Apostle, you're welcome.
Thank you very much, Rabbi.
I have next to me Dr. George. You're welcome.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Today you've come in the capacity of an apostle. Then my co-host, Afimani Moneybags McLean. You're very welcome, sir.
Thank you, man.
We're continuing from where we stopped the last time, because this is part two. We're discussing, we touched a number of things, ministry, callings, giftings. We talked about the books that we loved, the people that inspired us. We touched about our sounds in the spirit. And today we're just going to continue from that. I want us to talk about purpose and see where the direction takes us. Gentlemen, when I was younger and I just started into church, I just got born again. And I was very active in church. The first thing, many people don't know this about me, the first thing I did was to start out as an actor. So I used to act in skits. In fact, there are some skits where I actually acted as a woman. And I was very, very good. There are people who thought that that Hollywood was my future. Then when that lost its taste, I went on to rapping. So I was known as a rapper. We had a group called the Devil Haters, who were very famous. There's some people who have nothing on us, who are as big as Coolio and those guys, and Tupac and in Uganda. Anyway, then after rapping, and I was pretty good at it. So after rapping, then I went into dancing, and McLean was a witness. Here we used to dance. Then after dancing, I decided, okay, that finished its season. I decided to go into singing, and some people can't believe, but I used to sing tenor. And there was a particular point in time where there were people who thought, man, this guy.
The future of music.
That was the future of music. And what I say is that all these things played a stepping stone to who I am as a minister now. So the question is, gentlemen, the question, and we were having this discussion just before we went on air. How would a person know when their season for something has come to an end and that they're supposed to move into something else?
Well, maybe let me just try to just talk about that a little bit. From the discussion we had, I won't garnish more from that. I'll pick a little bit of that and also say what I have to say. One, let me first throw it there. Someone's season can come to an end and it is possible for them not to know.
Yes.
When they were asking, how would a person know? I personally believe that seasons is one thing that is very sensitive. I mean, the Bible says that the children of Issachar had understanding. It takes understanding for a man to know seasons and what they ought to do. Now, when a man is void of understanding, it is sometimes very, 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 very incapable to know. But how would one know? Personally, I think one of the ways people would know is circumstances. Can tell. Circumstances can tell. So many things. For example, I'll use like Elijah. When the season at the brook came to an end, it had to dry up. You understand? The funny thing is I don't know why Elijah didn't hear from God. And it waited for the brook. But there are circumstances where things around you will tell you, because we are co-workers with creation. They wait for certain, when the Bible talks about them waiting for certain manifestation for the sons, I think it's certain attributes. And when they see certain things that are in line with the spirit, they sort of reflect a certain thing to speak. I mean, even Jesus talks about our Pharisees not having capacity to read the signs in the sky. So I believe one way I can say circumstances can sometimes tell you that this season has come to an end.
Okay. Apostle?
Yes. Actually, I can relate to the phases of your life that I remember. The last time I acted, I was the best actor.
Really?
Yep.
Did you ever act as a woman?
No, I acted as a dead man. Who
I acted as a
guy who, checked into a hospital somewhere. And because, of misgovernment management or something or whatever, I passed away. But
Okay, and you were the best actor because of that.
And I was the best actor.
Oh, okay, all right. Uh-huh.
And now I remembered that now that season ended the moment I left that school. Mm. And now when I transitioned into university, you remember, you know, we had you know, a choir called PWC, you know, you know, praise and worships, you know, PWC. And then also that I could sense that the time of it had come to an end. And I remembered certain burdens and fires that started to consume deep within me. Especially I could move out of my I could move out of my hall of residence and look, and the question would come to me. If all these men went to hell, you would be to blame. So I remembered, I said, Lord, the first thing I'm going to do, I used to fear my coursemen seeing me preach. So I had a big cape, bigger than that, that could cover me. So I said, Lord, I think today I have to go with the cape. So guess what? So when I stood on that street saying hallelujah, the first guy that came was, was a coursemen. So the next time I didn't go back. But you see now, for you to know the phases of your life, for example, you are in a workplace and you're supposed to transition out of that workplace, there are certain things that would start to come. You never had a problem with your boss. All of a sudden, you reach earlier than anyone, you submit your reports, but for some reason, your boss is, you know? Another time you've been, let's say, staying in a place. I remembered now a place when I was literally staying physically in a place. One time I go to bed and I had just slept like this, and a certain spirit came laughing and say, you think you're going to take my territory? So I think I woke up. Anyway, I went back. I fought with that being. Then guess what? When the time of that area had come to an end, I had a dream. And in the dream I had, I was hungry, and I, like you go to CJ's to find a meal, and then guys serve you a human hand. Oh, I said, what? In the name of Jesus. So guys like gathered, thousands upon thousands upon thousands, babies, young, old, whoever, and they told me, get out of our region. So when the season has come for someone to move or to transition out into something fresh, you'll always get signs. Promptings and signs.
Okay. Maki?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think that's a good background, because I was also going to use the example of, you know, where you stay or the kind of car that you drive and stuff like that. Because there are certain things which usually start to happen which ordinarily wouldn't happen. They never happened before. For some reason, there just seems to be a problem constantly with the same thing. So that they've elaborated very well. The one I wanted to bring out was the bit of the transitioning. Because the transitioning can either be to step up or to move on to something else. And for me, that's the part where I would want us to first touch on that. The understanding of when we say you're getting nudgings, you know, to move on from something, it's not necessarily that you should abandon this thing and move on to something else. It can ideally mean you've been operating in level one or level two. Now it's time for you to move to level three. You know, stop camping. Like the Bible says, you've camped here for too long. Break camp and advance, you know. But it does not mean you're moving on to something totally new. You're just literally stepping up.
Upgrade.
You know, so I think it's important to know which nudging it is. Is it to step up, or is it for you to move on to something totally different?
I always tell people, so I'm going to give an example. When you've just moved in into a house, it's perfect, everything, it's your dream house. Mm. You stay there long enough, at a certain point, you will notice the tap that used to work just fine just doesn't seem to be working. Then the switch doesn't work. Then the same with a car.
Mm.
You'll know that if you're sensitive, you know, and that's how I pick up certain seasons for certain things and places have come to an end.
Mm.
But the Bible says, it says, delight in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Mm. And I've taught this over, when I'm teaching about seasons, it's very fundamental. scripture, because it implies that most people interpret that scripture in a way that God is Santa Claus. If you delight in him, he'll give you
whatever,
what you desire. But that's not what that scripture means. Mm. What it means is that if you delight in the Lord, if you're in his presence, he implants into your heart his desires. So what you desire, you don't desire by accident.
Mm. It is actually him working through you.
Through you. Okay? Mm. Now, that brings us to the point of burdens, where you will get certain burdens in your spirit for certain things in certain seasons. Burdens and seasons go hand in hand. Mm. So there are burdens that will come, and for some reason, when I look at ladies have what I would call cyclical burdens, and they're seasonal. Mm. Mm. I want to get married, then it just fades a little. Mm. I want to get married. Just, and those things are not coincidental. Mm. You understand? Mm. Because when Adam was sleeping, he didn't search for Eve. He woke up and found her there. Mm. And I believe those burdens in a woman would often are a sign that the season has come. Adam is probably around. The only problem is that he might be sleeping.
Mm. Probably should tickle him up and he wakes up.
Mm. So those burdens are very cool. But you had a perception on it.
Yeah,
I always like to look at something from above, because one, everyone knows that seasons are supposed to change and stuff like that. But you realize the biggest problem with people is they don't even know. Mm. And I think when you look at the contrast across scriptures, the issue was always they didn't know. They didn't know when Jesus came. They didn't know when they had to move on. I mean, Moses and whatever. I mean, I've been trying to think of all. Because I feel that, look at Jesus. The things he suffered is because he suffered. I don't know if I get my point. At the time, he didn't have to be killed. No one came to kill him. He used to say, it's not my time. Mm-hmm. And he had a certain awareness. Mm. You get my point? Mm-hmm. But there's a place where God uses the environment, like the way the donkey spoke, because maybe, I love what Rabbi says, you are not delighting. You are sleeping. You understand?
Yeah.
The Bible says, when men slept, you're sleeping. And for me, I think, because the Bible says, I will put men at a watchtower, something like that, to see what I say. Mm. I feel for you to be very sensitive, because it is one wisdom, and most of the successful people in life have known when to move to what. So if it was that easy to pick seasons, then the entire earth would be successful. Mm. I know they get my
idea. But the key is that, like I said earlier, for in my mindset, if you still love something, if you have if you're still good at something, but your passion for it has died, then it's most likely its season has come to an end.
Yes, I'll agree that's one of the ways.
Yes, it's one, yes.
Then it's very possible. My point is, it's very possible.
For your passion to be there.
For your passion to be there, but because you're blinded.
Yeah.
You understand? You don't even know, because the scripture says, God causes us both to will and to do. He's a spirit. Mm. We've seen scenarios where the devil moved David to count. So is it possible for your passion to be fueled by another spirit?
Other than God, yeah.
Other than God. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Can be
just to distract you.
Yes, to just to distract. Yeah. You understand? Yeah. And we see Israelites camping somewhere, and God comes and says, you have... there's a time, I wondered, that's for the other day, how God used to lead them himself. The cloud moved, they moved. They didn't move. And then he comes and tells them, you've stayed here so long. Mm. I thought he was the one leading them. Anyway, that's not it. But the point is, it's very possible. So for me, I feel like, I feel, and I love what one man of God said, Apostle Joshua Selman. He says that one sign that your prayer closet is active is you never miss seasons of your life.
Mm. That is a powerful statement.
You understand? Eh? And I can agree with you. I'm just giving a scenario, Rabbi. When you told me to become a part of something, of recent in the ministry, prayers and stuff like that, everything was working. Actually, there's a sign I saw and I knew. Mm. You understand? It was the season of God. Because the devil was trying to make sure it does not happen. Mm. I mean, an event almost happened that if it happened, I wouldn't be here. Mm. I can't explain it. Eh? Mm. So maybe as Christians, what happens is when you are prayerful, because the Bible says pray and watch. Now, in the praying, you'll be told what to watch. Or you'll have the wisdom to know what to watch. Mm-hmm. You understand? Because there are many things that the Lord can use. Eh? Mm. I love to pick from Elijah. The Bible says that he came and checked. Okay, let me just use that scenario. You understand? Eh? He was in the presence. Eh? I mean, it could show us how someone can know seasons. Eh? He comes before God, because God comes and asks him, what are you doing here? Then he gets his mantle and comes and presents himself before God at the entrance of the cave. Eh? And the Bible says, thunders came. Eh? And he came and checked in that to see if the voice of God was there. You understand? Eh? Mm. But if he had not presented himself, there is a place he had to be to even be able to see.
Even dreams are seasonal.
Yes. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. There are certain dreams that are cyclical. They happen during particular times. Apostle.
Yes. Yes. I like what Prophet George has elaborated there. But now, actually, thinking about Abraham, the scripture says, "And the Lord had said unto Abraham, get out of." Can you imagine? Mm-hmm. So the Lord actually had prepared him for a transition. So there could be someone out there who is watching us and saying, "I think for me, I'm completely out of touch." See, eh? But the moment actually Abraham responded, that's what made a world of a difference. Yes, it's important that we have the understanding of the times. It's important for us to capture the seasons. Like, for example, how a farmer knows that now I'm supposed to do planting. Sometimes you could have, you know, a rainy season come much more earlier than you've been expecting it. Or sometimes you'll even see one delaying longer than you get. But now, actually, I like actually what the previous minister said. He said that, unto you Pharisees, you can tell, you can look into the sky and you can say, today the way it is looking like, the cloud is, you know, the sky is red. And I think in the morning at around 5 a.m. it's going to pour down. But he said, But how be it that you cannot tell the signs of the times? So the Lord expects us that now, what a place of prayer takes us to, it draws you where you can easily interpret the signs of the times. I was interacting with one mogul, you know, in the city here, and I told him, now, when did you know that you're supposed to stop, you know, dealing in coffee? Now, that's when I discovered that actually wealth is spiritual. Mm. And when the Lord is taking, us from one level of wealth to another, he will, like he told me, I just knew. I couldn't explain how, but I knew that the season of coffee had come to an end. And I needed to, you know, to start getting properties within the, you know, the city center. I say, hey. Then, so how did you know that you're supposed to buy this building? So I am inquiring like that because I want to know. Okay. Where is this man getting these things? Mm. So the Lord expects us to know the seasons of the times.
Okay, Apostle, so yes. we have personal seasons. Mm. Mm. There are corporate seasons, church seasons. Mm. If you look back and follow the transitions of the church has gone through various, what would I call them? Dispensations. mm-hmm. Has gone through dispensations. There was a certain period of dispensation where there was the evangelistic grace that was flowing through the likes of
the T.L. Osborne,
Billy Graham.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then there was a pastoral dispensation.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Now, Rabbi, hold on a moment. The healing revival of that we talk about in the history of the transitioning of the church. There are actually people that fail to transition in that dispensation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Even here in our country, like Uganda, there was a time when we had, you know, when people could go in like in a city square, and they could hold and they could camp there, born again believers, and amazing things were happening. Talk about the healing of HIV. And that is the time when someone contracted HIV. It was still in its raw form. Eh? People got healed. But then, believers failed to understand that now it was actually time to transition. There was a prophet who was in that move in the American, a very mighty prophet, very, very mighty prophet.
Was that Bob Jones?
No. Paul Kane. Guess what? Now, that's why actually someone who has the foundation of God's word will always even last through, you know, even when transitions come and go. Somehow, a person who, you know, who flows, you know, in an anointing where there are revelations, especially with God's word, will always last. Now, Paul Kane, I think, failed to transition. Okay, you get it? So some people will fail to transition from that place to another. But then, you come and you see the likes of Grandpa Kenneth Hagin. That the Lord came and told him, actually, that thing is going to come to an end. And this will be the sign that that thing is coming to what? To an end. Now, you see him having now a much more greater impact. Yet he was even a part of, you know,
the previous,
of the previous
dispensation. That is, man, that is so powerful, eh? That is so powerful because the next question I'll ask, because what we're talking about here is that there are corporate seasons for the church, and the church will move through dispensations, and the potency of God and the grace of every dispensation is different.
True.
Okay? So
even what the emphasis.
The emphasis is different. And some people fail to understand that. They just fail to understand that. What dispensation are we in now? Yes.
I believe this is a prophetic, you know, a prophetic season. It's a prophetic dispensation. And so it's time for the prophets. And the reason is because there's a new move. There's something new that needs to happen. Everybody knows we're living in the end times, you know. But if I could just pick from that and make it relevant to someone out there, you have your anointing, you have your call, and you're asking, okay, this question of transitioning from one place to another, okay? And this is also a question for us to roll with. When we are talking about transition from one season to another season, I believe it's not necessarily true that the transition will be, okay, let's say you got nudgings to move from this season. Let's say things started to fall apart and things are not moving. Then you get the nudge that I think it's time to move forward. I don't believe that it is necessarily true that when you move from here to the new season, that it's going to start with a bang. You get what I'm saying? That it's going to start with, oh, you know, everything just success.
So not
you get what I'm
not
saying?
Not every season announces itself.
Not every season. You know? But then the thing that actually he talked about was the peace that comes with, you know,
with
the stillness.
Now,
the stillness that comes.
Yes. So the reason I'm saying that is because the challenge that what you just explained is literally where the believers, where there is a new season. But let's say a believer will try and step into the new season and you realize this is unfamiliar territory or you're not comfortable with it. And you find yourself being drawn back to the old one because that's where you found your comfort zone. That's where things seem to be moving for you or what you thought should be moving. That you didn't spend enough time here to let this mature into the glorious thing that it could be. You know, that's the point that I wanted to bring forward.
Powerful. Yeah, I'm thinking about so many things. The rabbi is looking at me and saying, okay. Now, okay. One, let me just say this, just to help someone there, for it to be practical. One, I believe when it comes to God communicating, because when to understand seasons, you must understand how God communicates to you. I believe the way lions change seasons and interpret when a season has changed is not the way birds change seasons and interpret when a season has changed. So one big marker is each one should know how God communicates to them when their seasons are changing. Some people it's dreams, some people it's circumstances, some people it's people
prophesying.
Yeah, people, I mean, even people God brings around you. At some point, it's God changing their location and stuff like that. Eh? That's very important. Now, going back to the corporate thing, eh? About the church changing seasons, I believe we are in, the executions, is the prophetic whatever. And I believe the emphasis of God is nations, you understand? And operation is extremely spirituality.
Understanding spirituals.
Understanding the spirituals, yes. I believe that's the move. Eh? That's the move the church is going to. Or what some people like calling the mystic.
the mystic movement.
Eh? Mm. Though some may not agree, but well, let's go to whatever. And then what I can also say when it comes to seasons in churches, one, I also believe there are people who are not supposed to move when the seasons come. They are alive enough. They know the seasons have changed, but they are to stay as pillars, to show that. Samuel, you understand?
Those are people preservers of the previous
whatever. So they stay as testimonies, as witnesses to see that, and for this young generation to look back. And then when it also comes to the church also transitioning seasons, the Lord will begin by spearheading. You understand? It's usually not so common for him to use old wineskins.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like people, whenever there's a new move, remember last time we were at the podcast, I said there are three ways God raises men.
Yes.
And I said there's a category of people that are raised from the wilderness. Yeah. And usually when someone comes from the wilderness, they're separate from the existing system.
Yes.
And that happens when God is starting something fresh and something new.
Yes.
Okay? And you will always know, because of course some fake guys can always rise up as well. Yeah? Do you know that historically, they said there were about 15 people that claimed to be Jesus before Jesus actually showed up? Okay. So the enemy will know when a season is coming and send forerunners.
The question is, when does the enemy know? When does the enemy know?
Now, the enemy will know because of, the enemy is a spiritual being. And there are spiritual signs that any being in the realm of the spirit can tell. But they will not be specific to know what is going to happen. Mm. But they will know something is happening. So they will bring forth replicas. For example, the last time we were here, we talked about something, about replication of something. That the reason why you don't have a 3,000 shillings note replicated in Uganda, because you don't have that note particularly. Mm. So the reason you have 2,000 replicas, because there is the original one there.
Mm.
So the enemy, being a spirit being, he can tell how certain things change in the spirit, and then he can position his cohorts to go and...
And I wanted to say something.
Yeah.
Yes. Why I ask that is because I believe when things are transitioning, and I love to use how the Bible uses the lights in the heaven to be for signs. Eh? Mm-hmm. And if you take it, there are also lights in the realm of the spirit. Eh? You understand? It could be people. It could be a revelation. It could be an understanding. And I believe what happens is there is information in the realm of the spirit that is available for everyone.
For every spirit being.
For example, it was known when Esther came out that Jesus was born. We all agree the Magi were spiritual, but were not necessarily Hebrew or something. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
They were readers of stars and stuff like that. Mm. So there is what is available that the enemy can know. And I believe that is when he gets to know, because he would have brought Jesus's way back. You understand? So there is when the signs change. You understand? And anyone who has eyes and spiritual can see. But then again, there are things that God conceals to himself. Eh? Like the wayers, the whats, the who. Because the scripture says, had he known, he would not have crucified. So I believe there are things also God leaves. You understand? Oh, if it's to reveal, he reveals them as sealed.
You know, we live in a dispensation of prophets. And there are many people who can prophesy.
Mm-hmm.
And many who can see in the spirit. Some occultic, some genuine.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be clear.
Mm-hmm.
People used by God need to be discerned. And in the same way, seasons of God need to be
discerned
in the same way. Mm. You see, I've seen people who my spirit tells me this is not God's spirit operating in this person. Accurately pick out when something in the future is going to happen, and it happened exactly at the time it did. And he would say it in the same season where someone I consider to be genuine has also said the same thing. But if you pay close attention to anointings, and we're going to get you will notice that there are things that are veiled to people who do not have the Spirit of God in their prophecy. People think prophecy is the same. It is not. There, when a person is a vessel of God, they not only see the thing, they see the mind of God
concerning the thing.
Concerning the thing. So, for example, let me give a quick example. Someone can say, this particular person wants to stand for president. And from a moral perspective, okay, they're doing everything right. Even a non-believer would say, that's the person I would pick. A person who does not have the Spirit of God sees it in the Spirit and says, this person is going to be president. The one with the Spirit of God will not just say this person is the one who's going to be president, but often, especially if they are prophet, will add the reason as to why God wants that person.
That particular person. What is the mind of God?
The mind of God. You see? So even the seasons of life, our seasons, it's not just enough to know, now I need to get this job. Why? The mind of God towards that. But you guys can add on to that if you feel in it.
So you're saying, which I love, information comes out in the Spirit, but even what comes out is sealed.
Yes. God's mind towards a thing.
So the devil can only pick bits of it and try to replicate with his craftiness.
You see, he knew a Messiah was coming.
Yes, that's what I mean.
But he didn't know the mind of God towards the Messiah, because he didn't know that he was supposed to die. Are you getting me?
I'm getting you.
Okay. So even your purpose, do you know that there are things... The Bible says that when Jesus appeared, when Jesus was transformed, transfigured, a cloud surrounded him. Okay? Then the Bible says, and he talked with Elijah and Moses about his death. Now, if Satan is a spirit, how could he not have had
that particular conversation?
Are you getting what I'm saying?
I've always had a theory. Because I remember one time you mentioned the same thing. And I think I went back and I was like, I feel, because things are mentioned, but how comes the devil will hear and I will say yet not perceive? Like the Bible says, you have ears, but you don't perceive well. Understand a certain way. Personally, I feel one of the seals could be the frequency at which all these people operate from. For example, I'm just going to give a simple example. If someone is perceiving something from a frequency of love, another from a frequency of bitterness. The two things, one is light, one is not. The other is darkness. The Bible says the Spirit of God had shed abroad the love of God, not revealed, shed. So love is like light, you understand? So I believe one of the seals is, for example, love. One of the things that God uses to seal things, you understand? And it's a frequency no devil can operate from. In the realm of the spirit, if love is genuine, or if the message that has come from God is genuine,
it is sealed. It also tells us that there are things that God reveals to us as individuals that we should learn to keep quiet.
That's the point that I wanted to make. Because even when you're saying the one of Jesus, and when he was transfigured and there's a cloud that came around him, and then he spoke with Moses and Elijah, maybe the cloud was the
insulator,
was the hedge. Because I picked that from the story of Job in the Bible. As long as there was a hedge around Job, the devil could not get him. Even when he tried, that was his only complaint when he went to God. He said, but you have a hedge around him, so remove the hedge so I can attack the man. And so it's like the same thing you're saying. And it answers the question of how does the devil know? My firm belief is it's because sometimes we are just talking anyhow to whoever. You understand? And the person you're talking to, even what you're sharing, you've not even covered it. You're not even sure if it's covered or not. You understand? And you're just talking anyhow. There's no protection around it. There's nothing. And most times, the devil will actually pick up on it when you say it yourself.
So is it the reason Jesus communicated in parables?
No, actually, I've been talking about that, that particular experience. He chooses three guys, and then he's transfigured before them. And those guys actually saw the Elijah, and for some reason they knew that this is Elijah, whom they had never seen,
and Moses. Yeah.
And they knew this was Moses, whom Moses had lived thousands and thousands of years before them. So anyway, so he tells them that see to it that you tell no one of it.
I see.
So the only way demons could have known is when those guys who were there had actually talked about it.
So, but if they had,
that's a double layer.
Or maybe at that place, because maybe then at that level, it was not communicated audibly. It was written at the tablets of their hearts. There are also things he communicated to them and sealed them in them, and they understood after he left. If those guys were too excited to keep quiet, I don't know.
But more importantly, I want you to understand how, let's say, a change of season of rabbi, like for example, like the church here, especially in the city, the Lord was raising up an anointing of a teacher, and when you look around, there is no one who flows the way rabbi flows. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now, there is a way God brought that message encrypted end to end, and Rabbi got it, and then God would speak audibly here and Rabbi would perceive differently and George would perceive differently.
And you know the interesting thing, man of God?
Yes.
It's the differentiation in perception has layers. First, myself as an individual, because we're different. Secondly, our callings differentiate how we hear. Thirdly, the anointings and the intimacy we have with God also would differentiate, because the lowest level of communication is through dreams. It's the lowest level.
That's the lowest, actually.
Then you go on to other levels. Now, as much as you have said that God will put a signature in me concerning a particular message, He will also give particular people a desire for that particular signature. I don't know if...
Correct. Correct. The people who will work with you to push that.
Yes,
to push that which He has given.
Because God does not send any man to be alone.
Correct.
No, not really. He will create a fire. Like, for example, talking about Elijah. And Elijah, the anointing upon Elijah was supposed to sustain, that widow at Zarephath. But for some reason, she said, man of God, but guess what? When Elijah communicated the revelation of God and the mind of God behind what he was doing, why he was doing, the woman completely connected to it.
So
there is a way, actually, when the Lord shines a light, like he will go and make signatures of spirits that are supposed to respond to that particular light.
Actually, the idea, I'm going to bring him in. The idea is that every individual in the Bible that worked with God is a dimension of God.
True.
Okay? Yes. And there are people, we call them spiritual lineages, who are supposed to walk in that dimension. Now, there are dispensations when particular mantles are supposed to operate or be prominent. There are generations that can miss particular mantles because either they did not receive them or no one was available to take it on.
I agree. The scripture says he came unto his own
And his own
did not receive him. So it's very possible for the Lord to present something and then it's not received. And I believe also when you read about church history and stuff like that and dig deeper, you realize that there are moves we know that moved the church based on the speed of the church. You understand? However, there are also people you read about and realize they were too far ahead
of their
generation.
Like who?
Like David.
Like David, yes. From a biblical perspective, why David? Interesting. Someone might want to know. Why David?
Why? Will I say the level of intimacy he had?
Okay. Leave alone just intimacy. David tapped into grace before
before even it could even be here.
Yeah.
Could it also be Moses?
I also believe Noah. The Bible says he found grace.
He found grace. We're talking about last time. So most of them and it's interesting. Sometimes I believe that there is what is for the dispensation. You understand? And it also brings us to the place of, as we grow in God, you realize that you can live in a dispensation and be limited to just give that. I mean, Paul says, would have moved on to Melchizedek, but you're not able to handle something like that. So you realize it's very possible for you to just receive just what you need. Oh, the best example is the Bible says that God did not take the Israelites by the way of the Philistines, but it was revealed to Moses. You understand?
And that way would have taken like what, 11 days or something?
11,
like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Very shorter distance. And we even see Moses goes on to marry an Ethiopian woman. You understand? Which would not have been a problem later. I mean, when Christ came and stuff like that. But it was a problem then. I believe in his encounters with God, there is something encountered and for him as he was operating.
And you see that the deep thing is that his brother and sister were living in the dispensation of law.
Yes.
And in the law it says you can't marry
a
Gentile.
Yes.
Moses goes outside the law and God, who is the same yesterday, today and forever, sees that Moses is living in a dispensation before this one.
Yes, and punishes
the ones.
so that makes me understand that there are men whose operations we may never understand.
That means it's also possible for us to be in this dispensation and tap into the dispensation.
Correct. Next dispensation.
Very the powers of the age.
Powers are about to use the scripture. Those who have tested the powers of ages to come and stuff like that. So, which also makes me understand that as a believer or as we mature, if you find a man operating in a way you don't perceive, there could be two things. Your spirit may not be comfortable with it because it's false. But also the other concept, Rabbi, which talked of maturity, our interpretation could also be at the level of our maturity. The same letter John writes, he says, I write to you fathers, I write to you sons, I write to you children. Same letter, that means the same sermon,
but received different
messages. Yes.
But received on different
levels.
Everyone receives.
Message was different. Even if the letter was the same. So it also makes me understand that. I mean, it also puts me in a place whereby if I am young in the spirit, it's difficult for me to judge someone above because I may not know where they're operating from. There's a discrepancy. Well, let me just talk about it. It's been all over. Man of God who said that is more gifted than God.
Yeah, you understand? Yeah.
And you realize the issue was those who are coming against him, not because I'm for the man or whatever, is they need to understand what he was trying to say.
Because God is not gifted.
Yes, you understand. He's the giver of gifts. You understand? So you realize that sometimes the misconception is because of what plane?
At what level you're
what receiving. People are operating on.
Where are you operating
but
from?
But this thing, man, you see, and it's actually, I have found that your man of God or the person that you listen to can be, if you make him, he can be your ceiling.
True.
It's to the extent that there are people who have sat under. This is why the Bible says, study to show yourself approved. There's a certain part that has to do with you, not just drinking from the anointing alone. Where that person stops, if he's all you're focusing on, that person will be your ceiling. Okay? So there are people who are still stuck in a dispensation we used to do it back those days when we were going for evangelism. You put together I don't remember what they call them, and you stand on top and you begin to
begin to preach.
Pulpit.
They don't really, not pulpits.
They were like podium sort of like small.
And I agree. You know, at one time I was asking God that, what? Cause think of this. Let me just throw this out. Scripture says, go and teach nations, baptizing them. And these ones thought it's about individuals, but it's possible to get an entire nation
and baptize
the spirit of an entire nation or the soul of an entire nation and baptize it into a certain pattern. You understand? Mm. So one of the reasons personally I believe, and I will say it, there is a dimension of evangelism I have felt is no longer as effective, you understand, as it used to be. Because even the evangelism we're having today started with D.L. Moody. Mm. It started with D.L. Moody. The one of go to the street, do this, go to the street, do this. And then you realize that the church, some things were to add on us, but we've not moved away from them. I was shocked to actually realize that the way we do much of the operations in the nominal churches that have not yielded to the way the Spirit of God moves is something that Calvin came up with during the times of the Reformers. Calvin was very administrative and anointing. John Knox was very fiery and stuff like that. Most of the believers had not yet studied and things like that. So he came up with things like Bible school that taught them different nominals about life. Because most of this came from a pagan sort of culture and what. And then I'm thinking, okay, the way praise and worship are structured from Calvin is entirely how it's where some churches stopped.
And you see, the thing is, everything has
has its place.
Has its place. But man, it's all about seasons. Knowing when God is now on something, and also how each plays a role in the body. Because the churches I've been to where there's no praise and worship. Okay? All you sing is the hymn. You sing the hymn and you sit down. Okay? I'm like, how will these guys be in heaven?
They will be bored.
I know somewhere where I don't know if that's genuine or not, but they don't even say hallelujah, but it's called the church. So I just had to add that to what you're saying in terms of the things that that can be interesting. But touching on this subject, in a dispensation, there can be so many dimensions of within that dispensation that if individuals do not understand their call and their anointing, they might just think because, Apostle is there, maybe he's the one. So if Apostle does not wake up to his and doesn't realize it's time for a new season and it doesn't spark the fire, chances are that everyone else under the Apostle is not going to do anything. But there could also be the possibility that if someone sitting under Apostle, picks up on that and sparks a fire, Apostle could also pick up on that. Maybe that's the trigger he needs. Maybe that's the trigger someone else needs. And I'm saying that because of the example that you've used, like for evangelism, of the one of going to the streets. Because now if you ask someone what evangelism is, that would basically be their definition. But that's not the only form.
And I wanted to correct myself. I didn't mean it's bad. I also preach on the streets.
Yes.
But I believe there was this.
We all preached on the streets. That's how I went, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon me and I spoke Luganda. but that's one.
Go ahead.
Yes. I think now that's when we need to define places of spirituality from places of religion. And dogmas and all those.
Yes.
And when God is going to move in our dispensation today, and actually he's already moving, things that actually tie us behind are traditions.
Traditions. Mm-hmm. Yes. I love.
Yes. Go on.
Like, there is a man yesterday I met around this very same time, and he was telling me he was praying from a particular church. I will not mention. And he came and visited a ministry of a particular mighty prophet. But now, that prophet only has one ministration a week. And for him, he was coming from a place of, hey, but man, I've been a church goer. I'm not saying going to church on Sundays is actually actually wrong. But now you imagine men that begin to judge you because your ministrations are not on Sunday.
Sunday morning.
You know, Paul talks about that stuff in Colossians.
Colossians.
When he says people who have honored days and what.
Yes.
Okay, go on.
Anyway, so he told me, but man, because I was so engraved into the Sunday thing, I moved on from place to place, finding out, okay, now if I... But then when he could go to different places, he could not feel the same way he would feel when he's under this mighty prophet. Now, he told me, we just knew that we were supposed to transition. So now, many times because of how people have picked out certain traditions, actually there are men that missed dispensations and moves of God because of the traditions of men.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You see, the Pharisees.
Yes.
Now, when the Lord now shows up, and the way he does things is not, you imagine a guy shows up, his guys are not washing their hands and they are eating, and on top of that he's eating with sinners. Now, there's actually one woman that the Lord commended. Mm. The Lord comes and, you know, like a lady desires her daughter to be healed, and he goes to the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to heal my daughter. You know what the Lord told the lady? He said, I'm not going to cast, you know, a children's bread unto the dogs. Mm. Now imagine the Lord who came to heal telling a lady. But then I understood that lady was not in the perceived bounds in which the Lord was called, because she was actually a Samaritan. Anyway, so he goes and he tells her, you know what? But the lady answers and says, you know what, Lord? Actually, the dogs cannot eat of themselves.
So they she taps into a dispensation.
She taps into a dispensation. Mm. And the Lord got so surprised. He says, what? Mm. I have not had so great faith, not in Israel. Mm. And he said, now go and be healed.
And you see, he's telling also the disciples who have been with him that he has never seen such faith.
Mm. Yeah.
So
yeah. And the disciples are with him 24/7.
They are with him 24/7. Now there is another guy that actually is going to play out according to the conversation and will flow. Mm. There's a guy who comes and is a centurion.
It taps also into the Bible. Now, says he was giving.
He was give. Now guess what? Now that guy, he was giving and what, and then he had also a servant who was sick. And I said, so the Lord now purposes to say, okay, I'm coming to heal. And the guy says, but wait, I'm not worthy for you should come. But he says, but I am a man under authority. I say one, I have servants. I tell them, come. They go. And now just send a word and it will be enough. And hey.
But you know why he was shocked by that? Why do you think he was shocked by that? Because it looks like a simple statement. Mm.
It looks like a simple statement, but that is very, very profound.
I feel like he had a clear revelation of rank in the spirit.
He had a clear revelation of ranking in the spirit. And then he had even places of submission.
Submission, yeah.
That I am under authority. So meaning, a man who is under authority is a guy who has been.
He understands how authority works.
He understands how authority works,
yes,
and operates.
But guys, we're certain then that when dispensations are happening on the earth, God will release certain people to spearhead those dispensations. Mm-hmm. Okay? And those dispensations, those people, individuals, they could be a handful. Mm. They have upon them what we call mantles.
Can you give us some examples?
Okay? Mm. I'll give you an example of what exactly?
Of those men. People are listening.
I believe Kenneth Hagin.
Yeah, perfect.
Kenneth Hagin was a perfect example of someone who started something. In fact, he was a teacher for 17 years, then was actually a prophet. Mm. But I believe what he did was apostolic. Mm. Okay? Mm. He founded something that was very powerful, especially towards faith. Yeah? Mm. And there are mantles that will fall upon specific people. Now, I believe you guys would. Then mantles are drawn from scripture. In the sense that there is no new mantle. You don't start a lineage that has not existed. They're drawn from the lineages we find within the confines of scripture. Now, their operations might be different, but mantles come from the spirit realm and men capture them. I also believe, well, I can capture an anointing from someone. I can get an anointing from someone, and we're going to define this. I don't believe everyone can get one person's mantle. Mm-hmm. Because mantles...
It's a mantle.
We don't see many people having...
I'm going to ask a question.
No, look, that's my thinking. Okay, so let's
actually,
go.
Actually, it is true. It is true that you have now the sons of the prophets who were prophets, and for some reason, they knew that Elijah was going to be taken. And for some reason, they were, when they looked at themselves, they were not worthy for the mantle too. But they told Elisha, do you know that your master will be taken away from you? So that what you're talking about is very, very true.
Yeah, but still, I don't think all the sons of the prophet could have got one mantle. There's always that one particular.
Yes.
Who gets his son? Okay, let me. Okay. It's a question. So are we saying, because, you know, mantles, I've looked at scriptures, different people define mantles differently. I won't mention one man. He said a mantle comes on you at a certain specific time. Maybe because in scriptures is when the hand of God used to come upon men doing operations and stuff like that. Anyway, that aside. So let me first ask a question. You guys answer me, then I say something. Who took Moses' mantle?
Well, the idea is that Joshua.
Joshua. So, yeah. If we say that, then it's true. Was introduced as an example. That means there is where we see the spirit of Moses taken off and put on other men.
Yes.
That's the anointing.
Yes.
But then we see the mantle, Saturn.
Through the laying on of hands.
Transferred to Joshua, particularly.
Yes.
So these are the elders, and actually they were anointed because the Bible says that Israel served God all the days of Joshua and the elders that lived in Israel and stuff like that. So we see they had anointing and capacities that did different things. You get the picture. Or even really got people to work with God. But the mantle was on who?
Was upon one person. This is what I believe. That one person pursues. And you see there are mantles in the spirit. There's a scripture in Psalms that talks about shields that are laid up in the spirit. And those shields are
for warriors.
Are for warriors, past warriors, which I believe they imply mantles in the spirit realm. And so a person can pursue something in the spirit, and a mantle that is vacant.
Yes.
You see,
it can happen.
Can fall upon the person. But I haven't seen in scripture where two people with the same mantle
got the same mantle
are existent at the same time. Okay. I don't
like now probably you can talk about like Ben-Hin. Ben-Hin and Catherine Coleman.
Yes.
How Ben-Hin goes and receives the mantle upon Catherine Coleman. Catherine Coleman was a woman, not a man, because you hear Catherine Coleman, you say it's a man. She was a woman. And you see how Ben-Hin expresses himself, how he ministers, is exactly the same way.
But can we say something? Because I'm sorry I've come. Because you can't talk about mantles without talking about anointings. And without talking about spiritual lineages. Because when you talk about Catherine Coleman's mantle, that mantle is coming from somewhere that we can link in scripture.
Yes.
You see, it has its lineage. So, in essence, it's not really hers.
It's something that has been...
It's passed on.
It's something that was... like, for example, you know, when the Lord is going to do something, the Lord will release... mantles in the realm of the spirit, and men to capture them, and those that capture the mantles are men upon whom dispensations are actually accorded.
Yes. That's it.
Like for example, Peter. If Peter had captured the vision the Lord had given him concerning the Gentiles. And he would have received it the way he was supposed to receive it. There was no reason why the Lord was going to raise up Paul.
Say that again.
It's triangle, but the one looking at you, looking at him.
Say that again.
Now we deal with God, who operates out of space and time. And when God wants to do something, he will release things
that
in the
I
realm
got.
Of the spirit.
I want the Peter part.
The Peter part. Now, Peter, the Lord tells him, because he's seeing, you know, pigs, what, and then because of his traditions as well.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
The Lord now tells him,
yes.
Rise and eat.
And eat, yes.
And guess what Peter said? He said, but I will not eat that which is what?
Unclean.
Yes. Unclean.
He says, don't call that unclean. Which
from that time, lines
were drawn. And yet he was the one.
And that's from that time.
Yes.
I'm telling you, if he had actually risen up,
he would have received all the revelations that
it's
Paul received.
It's true, because the Bible says, on this rock,
yes, I was about to build my church.
I was just waiting, slotting that like
yes.
on this rock, I'll build my church and stuff like that.
Yes,
It means that a mantle can come and you whatever. There's a very amazing prophet I was reading about, Bob Jones, who says his mantle came from an African prophet.
Yes,
who the son? Because it looks like God wanted, first of all, to give that mantle to the biological son. I don't know whether it was the biological son, according to him. So he rejected it, and then he gave it to Bob Jones. So
you know, mantles are not natural family heritages. They are spiritual family.
Yes, I agree.
Yes, yes.
I agree. They are not natural family heritages. But let me ask a question, Rabbi. A question out there. This guy here is told to go and anoint Elisha.
Elijah.
To be the next prophet. Well, I'm of the view, like I said, one day, that Elisha was among, me, I believe, people say he was a farmer, was among the 7,000, I believe, because after the conversation of the 7,000, that he can grasp the revelation of even seeing substance in Elisha. Like, God tells him about the 7,000, and then it is telling him that you're going to anoint Elisha. So, was it that Elisha was chosen?
Okay, so the question he's asking is, in essence, he believes that...
Are there people chosen before mantles?
People who are destined, sort of destined for...
Are we going to say it was to anoint Elisha as a prophet in his stead, you understand, the anointing? But then again, it is Elisha who pursued the mantle, because he asks Elijah and Elijah tells him, it's a difficult thing you've asked.
You know, in the spirit, there's a call. Who shall I send?
Mm-hmm.
And as long as that call is there, it implies that there are things available to all men to position themselves to receive.
Okay.
That's what I get. Because you see, if you look at Billy Graham, you can trace Billy Graham to Jonah.
Jonah, yes, I was about to say Jonah.
Okay? You can trace Catherine Kuhlman. You go backwards, maybe you go to Philip the Evangelist or whoever.
The Evangelist.
But you can trace them.
John the Baptist to Elijah.
Yes. I can't just say Kati Nzeninap Manto. Kati. A manto is a whole different level over.
I think now what
we have about 20 minutes to go, so
I think the thing that disturbs men, now people can get rubble, you know. Like, for example, I can tap into your spirit and I can teach and, you know,
so
and people may, and yeah, you get what I mean. Now, just like Saul the king tapped into when he joined the company of the prophets, something came upon him that was operating upon the what? The prophets.
Or even the warriors of David.
The warriors of David.
Who were men that were outcast and whatever.
Yeah, and then you see now, warriors, they became warriors, and guess what? Yes, they also started slaying giants.
Giants, yes.
You see. Now, someone can get an operation of an anointing upon someone, but not specifically the mantle.
Let me ask. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, actually. You see, okay? The people that have the mantles, are they the ones we call fathers?
Yes, I want to believe so. I want to believe so, because actually you're literally, I think it's just float. Because the next thing I was going to ask, and first I've answered, for me I believe yes, those are the ones we call fathers. Because what I was going to ask was, let's first clear this misconception about any man of God who has a ministry and has some sort of following, or has a congregation, no matter the number, whether 5 people, 3 people, 100 people, thousands of people,
Papa,
is automatically Papa a spiritual father. You understand? Because it's the same misconception with mantles and anointings. You can have an anointing. It does not necessarily mean
that you have the mantle.
You understand? So I just wanted us to discuss that particular one.
This is where last time I said something that I didn't have time to go into, but I said, it's my belief that... You can't. there are people who God, like you did for Elisha, eh? God will direct a father to mm-hmm. and say, this one has been made divinely. The relationship is so divine that God is in it. Eh? Then there are people who they are seeking for something, their hearts are drawn, and that person becomes their father in that sense. Eh? He becomes a source for them to grow from, eh? To drink from.
Mm.
But not everyone, dependent on their choice, it's my belief that not everyone is supposed, or not everyone can have a father. They can choose to have one, but you can choose not to. The repercussions are different. The journey that you go through might be different from someone who has a father. But you can, and I'm not talking about mentors here.
you're touching. So I'm going to throw this out there just within these 20 minutes. I want you to just, because I shared this with someone sometime, not the problem, but what is at stake when you consider someone as your spiritual father? You understand? And you are connected to them like that. How does that affect you, your spiritual life, and your outcomes and stuff like that? Especially like for someone who doesn't understand fully what spiritual fatherhood is all about. You understand? You're just going around, you found a man of God or a woman of God, and you said, oh, this is my spiritual father, or this is something. Meanwhile, there's no spiritual mother. It's just father because of source.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I'll just hit something like that. For example, I'll use an example of Abraham. Eh? The inheritance went to Isaac, but he had other sons.
Yeah, right.
You get my point? Eh? They were given gifts.
Mm.
You understand? Eh? There are things that will come to you because you are serving, even if you're under an anointing. Eh? There's a scripture, I think, that talks about grace according to the measure of grace that is coming down to you.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? There's that place. You understand? But then being a son, there's an inheritance that comes to sons. Because even when God is, because every time God makes covenants with people that we call fathers, or covenants that move with different mantles and stuff like that, eh? The promise of the inheritance of certain things are always to the sons. But I want to also just read a certain scripture. Forgive me.
Please, the next few minutes.
Very, very quickly. Eh?
Time can run.
Yeah, we talked about mantles. There's a scripture in Job I like, which says, it says this, because I delivered the poor that cried and the fatherless, and him that had none to help, the blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the joy of the widow. And you go down and realize there is a blessing on someone who was ready to perish, like a mantle, that came upon him. And when you go down, it says, and I put on righteousness and clothed myself and my judgment. So it's like he took a seat and a position because of a certain specific blessing that came upon him. And then down, he talks of him being a father, something like that.
Let me ask you a complete question. The person that has the mantle, are they the one who decide who to give it to?
No.
Go to. I also don't believe.
Yeah.
It's not in the hands of the person who has it.
It's not in the hands of the person who has the anointing that actually decides who the anointing goes to. And I've seen this with actually like two examples, more than actually two examples in the Bible. Guess what? The anointing that was upon Eli, the prophet, was transferred to Samuel.
Not his sons.
Hophni and and the rest, and and Phinehas. Then Moses had sons, but
Gershom.
None of them received the mantle that was upon Moses, except Joshua. Elijah. The Lord actually directed him and told him, you know what? There's a guy called Elisha, the son of Sapat. You go and anoint him to be prophet in your
stead.
But
then the interesting thing there is that the Bible says Elisha had the freedom to refuse. He told him, if you want to go to your parents, you go.
He told him, but then guess what happened? But you know, he couldn't. He could not refuse. Guess what? He had received a measure of that anointing when he placed a cloak physically, that an anointing from that time came upon him spiritually. That's why actually he goes and he, the business that he was tied to. Meanwhile, Elisha was called many years ago and somehow that business had hindered him. But the time when he received that revelation, he had now the power to kill all the oxen that he had.
And that's why this guy believes Elisha was born a prophet.
He was actually born.
Maybe also want to, what I want to put is, it's not always that mantles are transferred because a man has laid hands. You understand? You get my point. Because a man has
laying hands is not the qualifier
It's possible for a man to lay hands
Nothing is
and his mantle, even if he wants, doesn't come upon you. It's possible to get a mantle by laying on of hands, like Joshua. It's also possible to get a mantle of people who died way back. See Elijah,
yes,
and Elisha, and in the realm of the spirit, I think.
No, guess what? Actually, you imagine. How did John the Baptist
carry the
mantle of Elijah?
And then also, let me also put a disclaimer. Let me put a disclaimer.
Yes.
When you get a mantle, you also grow in the mantle.
Uh-huh.
John the Baptist moved in the spirit.
But you see, the thing is, time has killed us. But the thing is, you see, Benny Hinn now, listen, let me get it. Let's say Catherine Coleman, whatever, it's flowing on him. You can only position yourself for that mantle as long as he is still operational. Because the operation of a man can end and he passes on the mantle, but he's still here.
True.
The same is true. Reinhard Bonnke. He finished his journey, handed over to Daniel. And he's still here. So you cannot take a mantle from someone who's active.
Yes.
Unless that man does something for the thing to be removed from him and given to another.
Like Saul's
kind of thing.
Like actually, even for that thing to be operational upon Elisha, Elijah had to be taken away. That when you see me taken away, then it will be.
So that means God can take mantles away. In the scenario of Saul.
God is the one who gives them, is the one in charge of them. I don't think men have control over them. From a biblical perspective. Otherwise, we'll be giving our best friends. You understand? Our wives will be the most anointed. You understand?
Our sons.
He controls it. So someone the Bible does it. Because if someone might be asking, what exactly, how do you differentiate a mantle from an anointing?
I believe there are signs and authority that comes with the mantle. Sometimes you have to study the mantle to know, you understand, that now at this level, because like the sons of the prophet, there's an operation they saw Elisha doing and they knew now this was no longer the
realm our level.
At our level, this one is now the spirit. So it is discerned.
Okay. But also, I believe like mantles...
From character?
Leave alone that. Those are too many details. But mantles flow in line with dispensations. There are certain mantles that cannot be active in certain dispensations.
True.
I believe so. Yes. Because, you see, now the Bible says about this end times that it says who will come. It's not coincidental. You understand? You could have said Jonah will come. But it's specific. It says Elijah. And the two witnesses. Okay, Elijah will come. We know one of them might be Elijah, because Elijah will come.
Elijah.
And the other one is a disc. Some say Moses. Others say
Enoch.
Public Enoch.
Because of your name. Okay, but I believe like specific mantles flow during specific dispensations because they have their particular.
Or will we say they are relevant? Because
there's when the word relevance is better.
Because John the Baptist still has the mantle of Elijah, but there is a time where he had to decrease and Jesus increases.
So and there's no such thing as a mantle of Jesus.
Yes.
It's
upon the church.
Now,
Jesus is still operating. He's still putting on his mantle. You get the picture. So the relevancy, and I'll say the spearheading. So it's also possible to have a mantle that ushers in something. Yeah, because I believe one thing about a mantle, there's a specific assignment
attached to it
and responsibility. And as long as that assignment is finished,
And anointing has to do with operation.
Yes, and it has to do
with more than it does with structure, assignment, and mandate, and all that. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Oh my God! How many minutes do we have, Mark?
Five minutes.
Yeah? Yeah. Okay, let's. Time can run. If only we're living in the time of in the realm of eternity.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've understood then that in line with the thing of fatherhood, I need people to understand that when someone is a father, they're operating as a source. Eh? Mm. It is very possible, this is very, very important, it's very possible, and this can happen even with an instructor, for a person who you look up to not to be involved in a gifting in line with your calling and still be your source. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I'm just giving an example. I could be, okay, Kenneth Hagin might not have been a good singer. Mm-hmm. But if you're called to singing and you're connected to him, the anointing upon him can open a dimension of singing for you. Mm-hmm. That's how
Moses and the craftsman.
Yes.
And Moses was not
a crafter.
But actually, an anointing came from him to certain men to whatever. To interpret his vision, yes. And was able to attack.
Because some people will look at the way they would choose these people to sit under is just looking at the physical, the things.
Yes. And I was about to ask, so just in closing, how does someone know that this is supposed to be my spiritual father? Because in this, unfortunately, in our times, we are people all over the place. You will have people who will openly tell you, that's my spiritual father. And then this is also my spiritual, that's also my, because they are sitting under different men and women, of course.
My answer to that, first and foremost, is you'd rather not have one than have the wrong one. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm. Then I'll let you guys answer the rest. I'm curious. Okay, go ahead. Yes, quick.
You can tell, you will tell, because a spiritual father will connect to you spiritually. So, one, you'll have the Lord will lead you there. Mm. It's not going to be like you didn't choose your father in the natural. Eh? Mm. And neither actually do you choose a father in the
spirit.
In the spirit.
That's a nice analogy. Yeah.
So that one can tell you where. Mm. So and then when you meet the father, you'll somehow know. So meaning the spirit of God will open your eyes to see.
Yeah. Conclusion. I like using the example of Jesus who was available for you to have taken him as a king, eh? Even as a child, it took a revelation. When it comes to people, because they brought gifts, submitted them, and bowed to that authority, it's a concept of submission. It takes revelation.
But it is not a sin not to have a father.
It's not a sin, because I believe institutions have also fathered people.
And also, I would like to say that there's no such thing as a person who's supposed to father the whole church, as in who's supposed to be a father of everyone in every church.
No. I don't believe in that.
You understand?
Even Paul agreed and said he was Paul, there was Apollos. Mm. You understand?
Yes.
He didn't take Apollos' congregation.
Well, your father, if he's your father, I should just be happy that he's yours.
Mind your lane.
Then I also be happy that mine is mine.
Have your father.
I can't meet you and say, but why are you with that father?
No, come to mine.
My father. As if you're God.
It's my father.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen.
What a way to wrap up, man.
We could have said a lot of things. But we want to say thank you very much. Apostle Enoch, thank you so much for sparing your time.
You're welcome.
Dr. George, I know you're supposed to be in the hospital, but the revelation of the Spirit drew you here, out of the wilderness. Thank you so much for coming to be with us. Mm. And my co-host, Afimani McLean, God bless you so much. We could have discussed so many more things, but thank you so much for listening to us. See you next time.